This is one of those messages I just feel like the Lord has put it on my heart. I wrestled with this one a little bit because I had a lot of ideas of some things I wanted to talk about, but it just wasn't going anywhere. This message kept coming up, and so I have this feeling that this is something that God wanted you to hear today. And so we're going to go to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 1 through 7, 2 Kings 4, verse 1 through 7, and you can follow along on the screens if you don't have a Bible. 2 Kings chapter 4, it says, "One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, 'My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves.' 'And what can I do to help you?' Elisha asked. 'Tell me, what do you have in the house?' 'Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil,' she replied. And Elisha said, 'Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you and pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled.' And so she did as she was told, and her sons kept bringing jars to her. And she filled one after another, and soon every container was full to the brim. 'Bring me another jar,' she said to one of her sons. 'And there aren't any more,' he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. And when she told the man of God what happened, he said to her, 'Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over.'" Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for every single person that's in this room. Lord, I believe that it was your intention for us to be here in this moment. And I believe there is something that you want to say to each of our hearts, something that you want to say to our church. And so, Lord, I ask for your help communicating this message today. Father, let it sound like you and not like me. Father, help me to speak this in a life-giving way so that every person in here, their life can be impacted for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I've had the privilege of being a part of a really incredible church growing up back in Louisiana for pretty much most of my life. Our home church, Household of Faith, Pastor Scott Bledsoe, he's one of our overseers. He's been truly, just a tremendous blessing to my life, to Cynthia, and to our family, as well as to our church here. And so, he has given us the privilege when we were there to connect with a lot of people, not just locally, but a lot of people literally all over the world. And it was a great honor to be able to connect with so many people and even to look back and see how well the church is doing and how the church has really been flourishing and doing well. And in those years of being on staff there at the church and being friends with Pastor Scott, I got to attend a lot of conferences. I'll never forget when I attended Hillsong Conference in Australia, one of the highlights, honestly. It was pretty incredible to go to Australia in and of itself, but to attend the Hillsong Church Conference there, it was absolutely amazing. And so got to connect with a lot of different people in a lot of different churches and see a lot of things that are happening all over the nation and all over the world and what God is doing in churches. And it's really, really impressive. And sometimes our mind would make us believe that the church isn't doing so well because of maybe what we see with our own eyes. But I need you to know that all across the globe, the church is flourishing and it is thriving. And there are people in all nations that are being saved and coming to Jesus. And there are new churches that are starting, and it is literally thriving all over the world. And so let's not lead ourselves to believe just because we read one article that the church is falling apart. I believe the church is thriving. It's really, really incredible. And so having the opportunity to step into some of those different places and attend these different churches and conferences is really, really impressive to see what the Lord is doing throughout all the world. And we also have the honor, and we're blessed to be a part of ARC, which is the Association of Related Churches, which is a network of life-giving churches that are committed to starting new churches, planting new churches, so that people can give their life to Jesus. Statistics have proven that new church plants are where most of the salvations are taking place in the body of Christ. And so ARC is committed to starting new churches all over the place, which we're one of those churches that were started back in 2012. And so they're committed to starting these churches. And because of that, we have access to all these different churches in this great network of people. And when you look at the success of ARC and all the churches that are in there, it's truly impressive. And not just through ARC, but also locally. I want you to know that we have some great churches here in Tallahassee locally. Amen. I need you to know that. There are some fantastic churches here in town. And I remember whenever we moved here, it was still some time before we would start the church. And so Cynthia and I had decided, you know, we still want to keep our kids in a church setting. And so we were going to go check out churches to see where we can just kind of settle until we started the church. And I remember at the time it was Every Nation Church. Now it's Go To Church. And we met Pastor Ron Miller. And I'll tell you this, he was one of the most receptive pastors of us that I had met throughout all of town. And I remember him calling me saying, "Hey man, what are you doing this week?" I said, "Well, I got some time." He said, "Swing by. I want to pray with you." And it meant the world to me that this guy would say, "Hey, come on, let's pray." And he would pray, and not just these little wimpy prayers, like seriously pray. And I remember he told me, he said, "Man, we've been praying for a move of God in this city." And he said, "I believe that your church is an answer to that prayer." And so you hear that kind of stuff, man, you just start getting fired up. You want to chest bump people you don't even know. I mean, it's just, let's do it, man. And so it's just to connect with a guy like that was really incredible. And then, we were portable when we started the church, we were meeting up at Childs High School, and so we had a place to do church, but we didn't have anywhere to have our worship rehearsals, so our band didn't really have a place to practice. And I remember Pastor Don Cable over at Northwoods Baptist, who opened the doors to us to allow us to go. And I mean, I'm telling you guys, we were there every week just getting together with our worship team to get ready to do service on Sundays, and just so thankful for that opportunity, because you know, you got these great churches in town that see the kingdom and not just their little thing that they're doing. They realize that God wants to do something, and so let's open the doors. And so they opened the doors to us. And then I remember when we were getting ready to hold our first baptism, we didn't even have a water tank to baptize anybody in, and so we were looking at all our options. And so I remember I went to the tractor place over there on the other side of town. I was just going to get a cattle trough, man, and just, you know, somebody's getting wet, you know, I mean, we'll get a hose out and just spray you down if we got to. Somebody's getting wet though. I mean, we got to pour a bucket over your head. And I remember he told me, he said, "Man, we got one that you guys can have." And that was so cool, man. And we got that thing and we baptized, you know, and we still use it today. I mean, if you got baptized here, you got baptized in that tank. And so just really cool that those guys, you know, would open their doors and just say, "Hey, if you need something, we want to help you." And now we're at the place of, as a church, where we're able to open the doors and offer help and assistance to other churches. But I want to throw a little confession out there to you today. Whenever I look at these churches and these ministries, and some of these guys have done exceptionally well, can I just be honest and tell you that there's a little bit of envy that I have? Now, don't look at me like you ain't never had an envious moment in your life. Come on now. Some of you walked in church today and you saw my shirt and you were like, "I need that." So calm yourself down. You were watching my team play that team your team played the first game of the year, and you said, "I wish my..." Anyway, let's not go there. Let's come back to this. Stick to the plan, Wade. That was the goal today. But I see the success of these guys, and I get a little envious because I want that. Come on, let's not just act all super spiritual like none of it affects you, but I see it and I want it. And sometimes it makes me feel like we're not doing good enough. Come on, elbow your neighbor and say, "We just got real, y'all. We just got real." I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes as a mom, you might look at another family and look at what they're doing, and you might feel like, "I'm not doing enough because I'm not doing what she's doing." Sometimes on the job, as a man, you see what this other guy is doing and the favor that he has on the job, and you wish you had the opportunities that he had. And we get a little envious, and what it does is it begins to work on us, and it makes us feel like we're not enough. Come on, anybody ever been there before? Like, we're just not enough. Like, and then we start questioning things like, "Can I really do this? Like, can I pull this off? Am I as good as those guys?" Those are the kinds of things that begin to work on us in our minds. And it doesn't stop. It just keeps going. And you're trying to figure out how to manage it. And because sometimes when you look at the outside of things, it appears that they have so much going on. Right? It looks like they got it all going on, and it makes you feel like you don't. It makes you feel like, man, what is going on? And so I attending all these conferences, these church services, and everything is so good. But this is something that I have really, really felt. No matter how great all that stuff is on the outside, when I look at Emerge Church, I look at this and I say, there's no place like home. There's a lot of great stuff out there, but there is no place like home. Come on, can somebody say amen? There's great things. You can look at what other people have, but there's nothing like your house. And yeah, you might want to sell your house and get a bigger one, but that's okay, because when you go home today and you take a nap, you're taking a nap at your house. Amen? Amen. There's no place like home. So I think about the people here at Emerge and the friendships that over the years we've created in the ministry, the team leaders, the worship, the e-group leaders, the kids ministry, the dream team. When I look at it all, it's really amazing. When I truly look at it, when I quit looking at everybody else, and when I really look at what God has done here, I'm able to see it as, wow, this is amazing. But when I'm looking at everybody else, it doesn't feel so amazing. And sometimes it leads me to believe that we're not doing as good as we should and as we could. And those thoughts begin to add up, and it leads sometimes to some discouragement. Anybody ever been discouraged? In fact, I wonder if there's somebody here today who might be walking through some discouragement in their life. Maybe some things have gone on in your family, and you felt like it was going to be a success, and then some things occurred. And it isn't looking like what you thought it was going to look like, because you looked at somebody else's and it doesn't look like theirs. And you look at them, you may look up to them and you may see what they have, and you may feel like a failure in your life because it doesn't match what your view of success is, because that person, those people, that church, that ministry, whatever you want to call it, has defined success for you. And it kind of discourages you. Makes you feel a little overwhelmed, like all of your effort isn't equaling anything. And we start saying things like this: I don't even know why I try. Come on, anybody ever been there before? I mean, this is just the reality of how discouragement begins to work. And then that whole comparison thing, it begins to mess with us and get into our head, because it becomes this comparison trap. And we always think that the grass is greener on the other side. We always think that somebody else has something better than what we have, so much to the point that we miss what's right there. We miss the possibility of what's right there in front of us, what's in us, what God wants to do for us, because our eyes are so fixed on all these other things that maybe God did for them. Makes us wonder, would God do it for me too? And I want to use this story today to kind of break some things down to address that. And I want to use this story and I want to apply it to our church, not just for you individually, but even for us corporately, amen? For all of us. So look at your neighbor and just tell them, this is for you. This is for you. See, I need you to know that the church that is here today, this wasn't just a couple of people who were super good at church that helped pull this off. This was a lot of people who have sacrificed to make this thing happen. There was a lot of people who just were willing to show up early and didn't even know how to do this. And because they were willing to serve, now they have a capacity that was greater than whenever they started. That's the stuff that blows my mind, to see people who jumped into things like small group leadership, said, I've never done this before, and then they become a great small group leader. Come on. Whenever they join that e-kids team and they're like, I do not know what I'm getting into. I don't even know if I'm good with kids. And all the kids love that one person. Isn't it just amazing how that stuff happens? And they don't always feel like it's going to be that way, but it's amazing how God can do something whenever we just take a little step. And so when we look at this story in 2 Kings chapter 4, the chapter starts out with this lady who is just recently widowed, and she has two sons. And you have to know this, that her husband was a part of this group of prophets. Now, you're pretty, in the Old Testament, you're kind of a big deal when you're part of the group of prophets, because you're literally representing God to the people. Because they don't have no Bible at this point. They don't have no church at this point. God would send them priests and he would send them prophets, and they would speak on behalf of God to the people in order to lead them and teach them and point them the way that they would have to go. And there's this really popular guy named Elisha, who was kind of like the head honcho of the prophets at the time. And evidently this man who has died was a part of his team. He was a part of the crew that would run with Elisha and kind of set it up so that he can speak to all the the different people. And along the course of his life, we don't know what happens, but the guy dies. And after he dies, he leaves his wife as a widow and he has two sons. And as his departure, evidently they had some financial debt. And with him passing away, the debt has compounded to the point that she can't cover it. In and of herself, we don't know what she was doing for a living. All we knew is that the creditor was knocking on her door and was threatening to take her sons as slaves in order to pay off their debt. I want you to know that's a bad day whenever they call to get your kids. Can I get an amen? That's tough. Some of you are like, can I give them my number right now? I need a break. That's just bad if you feel that way. I'm going to be honest with you. Your kid just brought you candy the other night. Can you imagine, though, this lady, how overwhelmed she must have felt? I mean, just for a moment, just think about this. How overwhelmed she must have felt being in that position, because I would just assume that her husband, I mean, if he's running with Elisha, the man who's hearing from God, who's speaking from God, she probably felt a sense of security always with him around that, hey, God's going to say something and take care of everything. Well, he is gone now, and all she has is her two sons, which is the closest thing to her. And now there's the threat that these two things, these two boys are going to be taken from her life, and everything that she thought she had is going to be gone. Can you understand the discouragement that she must have felt in this moment? It had to be just so overwhelming, and no matter how you look at this thing, it just looks like a losing situation. It just looks bad. I mean, and sometimes when it's bad, you just got to say, it's bad. And this right here, it's bad. Have you ever felt that way before? You ever felt like you were just losing in every avenue? Not just your team, I'm talking about in your life. You ever just felt like you were losing? At work, you at one point you were motivated, you were excited, you felt like you were on top of your game. But just a series of events happened, and now you just feel like you can't get over the hump. You can't get a win. You can't get caught up. You can't do it. I mean, it's just like, what is going on? And so you're trying to manage that at work, but then at home, it just seems like the kids decided to act a whole nother way of crazy, like they've never acted before, all at the same time. Come on. And you're just thinking, are you for real? Like, are you for real, kids? Like, I can't do this right now. And then your spouse comes up with ideas of things to do. Come on, anybody, is this just real life? I mean, some of y'all are like, this dude's spying on us. Feel like you're losing, you start feeling like you're not good enough, start feeling like you don't have enough. We need. It affects you, but then it begins to affect them. It affects your whole house. It affects your kids. Come on. Yeah, I mean, it just happens. It's almost like dominoes. It's like, what are we going to do in this situation? And this widow, in her desperation, she calls upon Elisha, this prophet, this priest guy to the nation of Israel. And she begins to spell out the dilemma. And you would think that this guy would just be so understanding and offer everything that he could to help her, to answer her needs. But instead of giving her an answer, he asks her a question. How many of you remember back in the day in school when you would ask a question to that teacher, that professor, and they would not give you an answer, but they would give you another question? How many of y'all remember that person? And if you are that teacher, you need help. Quit doing that to us. Goodness gracious. So she goes and she spells out her dilemma, and she's like, we don't have anything, we don't have no money, they're coming to get the kids, I don't know what we're going to do, it's all falling apart. And he just asked her, well, what do you have in your house? And I want that question just to stick out today, because sometimes God will ask a question to help you find the answer that you need. I want you to hear that. Sometimes God will ask you a question in order to help you to find the answer. We're asking God the question, God, this is what I need. We're telling him it all, and God doesn't respond with an answer. He'll give you a question that's going to point to the answer. And this is what's happening right here. She needs an answer. Just tell me, can you give me some money? That's all she wants to know. Can you help a sister out? I just need some money to pay the bills this month so we can make it to next. Can you help me out? And he just says, what you got at your house? Are you serious? You ever came to church before and you needed to hear a certain like song or something like that, or a certain thing preached on, and we didn't talk about it? And you're like, Lord, I know you won't work in that area of my life, but that's for later on. Right now, we need to talk about this. And the Lord wants to talk about something else. You're like, I don't even know why I go to that church. They need to talk about what I need. And Lord's like, this is really what you need. Boy, he knows. And in this situation, this lady, she's like, I need money. And this guy wants to ask me, what am I putting in my house? And this is what's interesting, because the first thing, her first answer is an evaluation. Because she's got to think it over. Because honestly, she has some honor for the guy because he's a prophet. And so she, you know, her answer, you know, what do you have in your house? She evaluates it. She does a little evaluation, just like you and I would do. In fact, a lot of our comparison is evaluation. We're evaluating ourselves. We're evaluating them. We kind of see, where do we fall in this thing? And so she does a little evaluation. And this is her answer. She says, nothing at all. That's the point that she reached. To where even though she has a home, I'm sure she's got a couple of things in there. Her whole conclusion just comes to nothing at all. That's all I got is nothing at all. And I believe that her evaluation of what she had become so influenced by her discouragement that she thought she had nothing. And I believe that's the exact thing that happens to us in our discouragement. We get so discouraged that it influences the way we see ourselves, the way we see our lives, the way we see our abilities, the way we see what we could do, the way we even see what God said we can do. We begin to think that I can't do anything because if I could, I wouldn't feel this way. That's the nature of discouragement. It's trying to disqualify you, trying to pull you out of the game, trying to blind you from seeing any kind of possibility. And this lady, she's so indebted, and she didn't have enough. And when you don't have enough, you feel like you have nothing at all to give. That's what discouragement is doing to us. Become stressed and overwhelmed. We feel like we've got nothing to give to the people that we love. Feel like we've got nothing to give to God. You want me to serve at church? I can barely make it through half an hour without falling to pieces. Come on, have anybody ever been there before? Just discouraged, overwhelmed. But then she goes from an evaluation, and then she has to claim a little exception, because honestly, she forgot. She forgot that she may have had a little something. And she says, nothing at all except a flask of oil. Like, I got a little cooking oil. That's all I got. And it doesn't sound like a whole lot. So she starts out with nothing, but then she realizes and remembers that she's got a little something. And today, if you're discouraged, if you can just realize that even though it looks like nothing good is happening, even though it looks like everything is falling apart, looks like everything is overwhelming, perhaps you've forgotten it. You got a little something left. You got a little something. A little bit. It ain't a lot, but it's a little bit. And she just lets him know, all I have is this flask of oil. That's all I've got left. And whenever you read it, you can almost pick up on the tone of her answer. Because whenever she tells this prophet that all I have is a flask of oil, it doesn't sound hopeful. It just sounds like she's saying, oh, all I got is this oil. That's it. We're just going to die. It's all going to come to an end. It sounds like, even though she has it, the influence of the discouragement is greater than the possibility of anything in her life changing. And I've learned that sometimes we can become so focused on our problems that we miss the potential of what God can do. Become so focused on what's wrong that we miss the right thing that God is trying to do and right thing that God is trying to work out in her life. And she obviously, even though her husband may have been in a company of prophets, she was obviously struggling to remember what God had said in all those other times. she was forgetting about it. Because you ever felt like that before? This situation is different. This is different, Pastor Wade. This isn't like last time. I know you've talked to a lot of people who are struggling with their marriage, but you don't understand. This one is different. And all those other kids, they're not like mine. This one is different. And all the other bosses that people work for, this boss is different than everybody. You ever reached that point or heard somebody like that? You're like, look, man, you're discouraged. You're so far into discouragement that your view, your perspective is so skewed that you only see it one way. You only see it as bad. It's bad. It's just bad. It's all bad. It's just all falling apart. She didn't realize that the little bit that she had could be the possibility, could be the setup of the possibility of what God could do. She didn't realize it yet. And I want you to know this today, that if you're discouraged here today, you still got a little something there. May not feel like a lot, but there is still a little bit something there. And in the words of these oil ladies, come on, any oil ladies, you know, you play with them oils all the time. There's an oil for that. Here's an oil for that. This is the first essential oils dealer in the world right here, this lady. This is where it started. You need a biblical reference? There you go. Listen, if your husband is trying to make a decision about you jumping in this thing, this is not leverage. This is not your permission slip, okay? I'm just saying it's in the Bible. There's an oil for that. Now, you have to understand a little bit about oil in the Bible. When you read the Old Testament, there's a lot of pictures in the Old Testament. There's a lot of stories that are illustrations that set up things in the New Testament. So sometimes whenever you read the Old Testament, you can get so caught up in all of these different items and the way that all this stuff was written that you can miss what it was all pointing to. And so in the Old Testament, oil, it had some symbolism to it. It was significant because this oil was oftentimes used as a symbol. It was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It was used to anoint kings. It was used to anoint priests. It was used to anoint leaders. And so whenever God would find that special leader, they would pour oil on his head to signify to all the people that this is the one that I have chosen. That's a key word right there. This is the one that I have given. I am giving my anointing to. And anointing is literally like a special ability that comes from God. It's the supernatural ability of God that comes upon our life. And so you look through the Old Testament, you see people like King David, who was anointed by God. And because the anointing of God was on him, whenever you read stories like David and Goliath and you see him killing the giant, it begins to make sense to you, because how could a boy take a slingshot and kill a giant man? It was the anointing of God that was on his life. It was God's ability that had come upon him. And in this story, all this lady has is a little bit of oil. That's all she's got. And sometimes with all of our deficiencies in our life, with all the issues in our life, with all the stress and all the struggles and all the worries and all these different things, we overlook the possibility that there is something that God has given to each of us that was meant to sustain us through some of the heaviest and hardest times that we would ever walk through. And so because we don't recognize it, we're always looking for something on the outside to fix something that God has already put on the inside. And this lady, she forgot. She didn't realize that this little bit of oil could be the thing that makes the difference in her life. And so what does the prophet tell her? He says, I want you and your sons to go door to door to all your friends and all of your neighbors, and I want you to gather as many empty jars as possible. And when you find them, bring them back here and begin to pour that little bit of oil that you have. And so her and her sons, they go find all the vessels, they begin to pour the oil, and you would think that after she poured the first one, because all she had was a little bit left. You ever tried to fry chicken and you only had a little bit of oil? That is a bad day. You know what happens when you go to Publix? You don't even buy oil. You just go right there and buy their fried chicken. Sounds like lunch plans for somebody here today. I just helped the family out. No fighting in the car now. She begins to pour the oil, and the little bit that she has isn't running out. It keeps going. And possibly in that moment, she begins to see the first signs of consistency. Come on. It wasn't much, but it looks like it's starting to add up the more she pours it. Next thing you know, there's this whole collection. We need more jars. We need more jars. And they're like, we have no more. We ran out of people in our neighborhood. Yeah, it's like Can you imagine now today, these days, kids are knocking on doors fundraising. Back then it was like, I need a jar, not for the school fundraiser, but for our fundraiser. So they're pouring this jars and the prophet says, take all the oil that you have and go sell it and pay off your debt. And then he says, and you can live off the rest. That's pretty impressive. And you see this whole story and God does a miracle in it. And some of you, when you hear that, you're like, I need God to do that kind of miracle in my life. Come on, I'm not talking to anybody. I need that kind of miracle. If God could do that with my time, it would be life-changing. This whole oil thing, they poured the oil to anoint the kings. They poured the oil to anoint the priests. It's a picture. It's a symbol. It signifies being chosen by God. It signifies being empowered by God. And to know that even though you may not have it all, if you have what God has given you, you got a lot. But whenever you start putting it into action, it begins to multiply in your life. And I just wonder if we have perhaps changed our game plan because of our discouragement. Because of how things are adding up, we change our schedule, we change our game plan because a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, the first thing that we feel like we got to cut in our life are sometimes some of the most important things. Come on. I've heard a lot of people say, I can't serve anymore because we got a lot going on. And can I just be honest, from a pastoral perspective, you may be thinking that they're just trying to get a bunch of people to cover all their spots. There's a bit of truth to that. But the other side of it is, you don't realize what that does for your life whenever you serve in that capacity. You know, you don't even realize what it's doing. Some people think, I need a break from church. That's a terrible idea. Can I just be honest with you? That's it. You said, Pastor, you just want a lot of people to preach to. If there were three people here, I would preach just like I'm preaching now. Listen, I preach to a few. I preach to a lot. At the end of the day, it don't matter who's here. I got to do what God called me to do. Amen? And so that doesn't matter. What I'm trying to help you to see is that there is something in you that God is trying to stir up. And whenever we begin to put it in action, it begins to affect all of our life. And it can even help you overcome a lot of the discouragement that's causing you to step back from the very things that God might be using to try to reveal the very thing that He wants to do in your life. Come on. So earlier I talked to you about some of these things that I struggle with whenever I look at these other ministries and these other things that are going on, because I want that. Can I be honest? Come on, you can't look at somebody's house, Chip and Joanna doing all these houses. If you survive one episode without saying, I want that, come on, what in the world? And they're going off the air and some of you are losing your mind over it. We have these things we see, we want to do great things, we want all that. It becomes so discouraging, and sometimes it makes, like I said, it makes me feel like it's not enough. But then when I realize what God has put in my life, it changes everything, because I know that there is a possibility that God can do anymore if I would just put it to work. Yeah. If I would just put it to work. And so what I want to do is I want to apply this to us. I want to give some application, because right now you're kind of in that point of almost inspired, but know if you let yourself go too far that God may ask you to do something that you're not quite sure that you want to do. And so you're kind of on the edge right now. Like, I keep coming with the discouragement stuff to bring me out of this, but please don't give me too much to do, because I'm going to lose my mind if somebody tells me I got to do something else. So I understand exactly where you are. But I do want to give you some real life application to this, because it's one thing to be inspired, but it's another thing to act upon what God is saying. Yes. Amen? So let's apply this. Let's apply this to us. The first thing, if we're going to come out of that funk, if we're going to come out of that hole, that discouragement, just like this lady, she was in a severe place, but in order for her to come out, the first thing that's got to happen is our perspective has to be adjusted. Our perspective has to be adjusted. You ever try to get a good picture of like a group or something before, and you were using your phone, you had your phone out there, and you know, you're just trying to do it like in selfie mode, and you're holding it like this, trying to get everybody in there and everything, and you can barely reach it. And so you hit the little button with your thumb, and everybody's like high-fiving because, like, hey, send it to me, post it, tag me, you know, all that fun stuff. And then you look at it, everybody's gone, and then you look at it, it's like, man, this thing's out of focus. can't even see any of our face. And it's like a picture fail. I mean, it really is. And even though you went through all the effort, you can't see it clearly. And so you're trying to make it, who is that person? I didn't even know they were with us. All these different things because it's just out of focus. And a lot of times our focus is thrown off because of the things that we're facing in our life. And the flash, come on, if you're around the flash all the time and it's flashing in your eyes, it begins to affect everything and you can't see clearly. And all these different dilemmas in your life, they're just flashing, they're strobing, and they're going off. You're trying to sleep at night and they're flashing. Another night, I was dreaming that I was doing work. That's a rough night when you dream that you're working all night. I woke up tired. I'm like, I need to go back to bed. Adjust your perspective. I have found that discouragement speaks loud. It speaks very loud, louder than everybody else. It dominates the room whenever it begins to speak. And it just kind of takes over, and it gets into every single part of your life, and it magnifies things. You didn't even know that you felt that way. Now you feel stronger about it, and then pain feels greater, and then you start looking at, I don't have this, and I don't have that, and it just kind of magnifies everything, and literally, it's like the enemy. It's like the enemy is just telling you all these things, you see? you set yourself up for it. That's the kind of stuff the enemy tries to do. You were trying to do this whole Jesus. You got baptized a couple months ago, and look at you now. Can't even live this thing out. That's the kind of stuff the enemy tries to do. You were going to stand up for your faith on the job, and look at you now. Just trying to discourage you, just trying to bring you down, trying to get all up in your head. Enemy trying to tell you, oh, you signed up to serve. God can't use you. You got this in your past. You got this dilemma going on in your life right now. That's the kind of stuff. You're not valuable to them. That's the stuff. Come on, anybody ever been there before? Understand this. There is an enemy, but we're getting so caught up trying to defeat an enemy. Listen to me. We're trying to defeat an enemy that has already been defeated. Yes, amen. I need you to grab this today, because a lot of the battles that we're fighting up in here, we're fighting against an enemy who is just mouthing off to us all the time. And we're working so hard to defeat him, like once and for all. And what we fail to recognize is that Jesus has already defeated that enemy on the cross. And the problem is, we've just never walked in victory before. And so we don't know what it feels like to walk up Victory Hill, because we've never been there before. And it's a little bit hard going uphill sometimes. It's hard to climb a mountain, but it's Victory Hill, and he's already paid the price. And so because we've never been there, we don't know what it feels like. We don't know what it looks like. We don't even know what it sounds like. And so we're spending all of our time trying to beat a devil that's already been defeated by Jesus. And so instead of being in a place where we're coming from victory, we're trying to fight for victory. But it's already given to us. It's already there. There's a swag and a confidence that comes when you're winning. There is. It's a confidence that comes with it. And as believers and as the church, there should be a confidence that we have that in Christ, I can do all things. And in Christ, all my needs are met. Come on, this is just basic Bible stuff. But isn't it amazing how basic stuff in the Bible gets challenged so great when we're discouraged? Stuff that we knew. Listen, I grew up in this stuff. Memorizing scripture in Sunday school, children's church, 7 stars, and I got a coffee mug. Says, God loves you. Come on now. I got the bumper sticker. Put it on the big station wagon I told you about last week. Did it, man. Had all that stuff. But there are days where the discouragement is there, and even though I had to work so hard to memorize all those verses, I forget completely about it, and I'll keep listening to these voices, and I got to remember, wait a minute. That's not what God said. I've come to believe that the hardest thing for us is to believe what God says about us. So hard for us to believe. And in this situation, this lady, even though her husband is a prophet, she's forgetting all the things that God says, because all she knows is, I'm broke. And they come and get my kids. We got to adjust our perspective. So how, Pastor Wade? I agree. Got to adjust my perspective. But you better tell me how. You got to go back to God's word. You got to go back to what God said. And a lot of us, we don't know what God says because we ain't sitting to listen. Come on. We got to go back to His Word. Last week when we talked about the Bible, reading the Bible, we've got to get in the Bible to know what God says. We don't know what to do in situations because we don't know what God said about the situation. But if we can get back into God's Word and begin to read, you'd be amazed. You can't get through half a chapter without saying, I needed this. Like, this is for me. Like, I needed this today. So we got to get back to God's Word. If our perspective is going to get right, we got to hear what God says instead of what these voices of discouragement are saying. We've got to get back to prayer. Come on, somebody. We got to get back to pray. And when I pray, this is what I do. All of that stuff, all those thoughts, all those discouragements that I've been carrying, that I've been taking in, Lord, I need to give it to you because this stuff is overwhelming me. And so can we have a little bit of an exchange here? I'm so glad that we talked. I feel much better about it now. You see what happens whenever we pray. But there's another element, and this is one that I believe that we struggle with. And this is where we got to go to God with our praise and with our worship. And I know people who are walking through hell and will just stand like this through an entire worship set. Like, God, if you won't do it, I ain't going to worship you. When you don't even realize that your praise could be the very thing that will lead you through all of this stuff. Because praise changes your perspective. You can't worship God and stay mad. When you begin to lift up your hands and worship the Lord and say, I believe you'll do it again, your whole attitude is adjusted. Your whole perspective is adjusted. And maybe it sounds a little old school, but I need you to know, old school still works, y'all. The Bible still works. Prayer still works. Worship still works because it's not about me. It's all about Him. And when my focus is on Him, I realize, wait a minute, my God's a lot bigger than my problems. And this discouragement is just trying to keep me from reading the Bible. This discouragement is trying to keep me from praying. This discouragement is trying to keep me from lifting my hands. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I remember what God said. I remember that His hand is on my life. I remember that He sent Jesus to die on the cross to save me. I remember that He loved me. I remember that He said He would never leave me nor forsake me. I remember now. Now my perspective is different. And now I'm thinking about victory instead of defeat. Now I'm not playing to not lose. Now I'm playing to win. It's all about perspective. You got to adjust it. Whenever I do that, watch this. This is where I'm filled up. This is where He begins to pour out His Spirit. See, you can't get gas in your car if you don't go to the gas station. You got to go to the station. And we got to make some time to get along with the Lord and let Him begin to fill our lives. You see, we always think of the things we got to quit. We need to start looking at the things we need to start. And we got to start going to the Lord, allow Him to fill our life. And if I told you that much, it would be great. But today, I just want to push you over the edge a little bit. Because, see, it wasn't just her perspective that had to be changed. But she had to do something. And number two is this. She had to learn to follow God's plan. Because I've learned that whenever we're discouraged and overwhelmed, we come up with some crazy ideas. You don't believe me? Just watch people whenever hurricanes begin to happen. We were 6 days away from a storm, and people bought out all the bread and all the water at Publix. All of it. Walmart too. You say, I just want to be prepared. You are crazy. My little girl didn't have peanut butter and jelly that week. Your worries, your discouragement will do everything to stop you from saying yes to God. It will do everything to stop you from saying yes to God. Watch, watch. I got too much going on to serve. We don't have enough money to give in the offering. These are the things. This is how it works. I don't want to get burned out. I've heard what's happened to other people, and I don't want that to happen to me. I'm scared of this happening. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can do this. And we're just forgetting some of the foundational stuff of God. Because in James chapter 1, verse 22, there's this one verse, and I remember that I had to learn it, and it was one of my stars in children's church. It says, be ye doers of the word, and not just hearers only. Be ye doers. That's King James. Whenever they say ye, it's King James. It's serious. It's like powerful. Be ye doers and not just hearers. Don't just come and hear it and feel good about it, but put it to work in your life. And so when she realizes she got a little bit of oil, what does the prophet say? start pouring it. You got to do something with what you've got. And I've come to find out, if I begin to pour, if I begin to put what God's put in me in action, it begins to change things in my entire life. In fact, that's what changes things in a community. Whenever a church, when people just like you who allow God to pour into their life, start pouring it out to others, it begins to affect their life. And that's why the Bible tells us that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that sets the captives free. It's the anointing that breaks the chains. Why? Because it's the favor of God poured in you that you pour in others. That's how it keeps flowing. And so if you say, Pastor, what do I need to do? I would say, go with the flow. Go with the flow with what God is doing. He's pouring it in. You got to pour it out. You got to pour it out. So watch this. God's calling out to you today in the middle of your situation, in the middle of your dilemma, in the middle of your problem. He's calling out to you and he's saying, take the little bit that you got. You say, I only got a little bit of energy left, Pastor Ray. Take the energy that you got and begin to put it to work and watch God multiply it. Watch God increase it. And not only will it affect you, but it will begin to affect others. It will begin to affect even the very people in your own house. Come on, somebody. I want to see my family do something for God. Not just me, but them too. Can I hear an amen? So watch this. Here's the big thing. Obedience is what will lead you out of your dilemma. Obeying God. That stuff that you know that you need to be doing, go ahead and say yes to God. Even though the discouragement is trying to tell you you can't, you won't, you shouldn't, just go ahead and say yes to God. If God's been putting it on your heart to do it, yes, Lord. Yes. Because some of the discouragement is coming from your disobedience. It's guilt, it's shame, all adding up on you, and you're trying to figure out how to make it go away, so you start creating your own plans instead of just following God's. And I need to remind you of a verse, obedience commands a blessing. So I want you to hear this today. As a church, we got to gather the empty vessels. There are people that you and I know that are empty. They need some pouring into in their lives. And even though if you might just have a little, you got a lot to give to them, because they have never tasted and seen the Lord like this before. They need to hear your story of what God has done. They need to see the goodness of God at work in your life. Come on, somebody. You say, Pastor, I got enough going on. Hey, don't ever miss an opportunity for a divine distraction in your life. Come on, somebody. That's a word for somebody in this place today. A divine distraction where the Holy Spirit will set something up for you so you can pour something out. So we, listen, let's gather the empty vessels. Who are you inviting? Who do you know? I am positive that already the Lord's put people on your heart and you just hadn't done it yet. Let's go for it. It can change your life. It could change theirs. Let's gather the empty vessels and let's begin to pour it out. Church, there's oil in this house. Those other ministries I talked to you about, I might be envious of their stuff. And I got to ask the Lord to work on me with that. But there's one thing that I know. There's oil in this house. Come on, God has anointed you. God has anointed this house for this community. God has anointed this church for your family. And God has anointed your family for this church. Come on, somebody. Come on, every husband in here, God has anointed you for that woman that you married. Every woman that's married to that man, God has anointed you for that man. For those children that God has given you, God has anointed you to be their mom and their dad. You say, I don't know what to do with them anymore. You got to look for the oil that's in your house and begin to pour it out in their lives. Amen? Because God has anointed you for that. And we got to quit looking from the place of discouragement and start looking from the place of victory because of what God has already said and what God has already done. And you may not see the hope in it yet, but as you begin to obey, as you begin to pour, as you begin to step, you begin to see this is adding up. And as it's adding up, you begin to realize God was in it all along. I thought I was by myself, but he never left me and he never forsaken me. Come on, is anybody in this place today? I feel like preaching this thing. Watch this. There's power when we pour it out. There's power when we pour it out. And I want you to stand with me this morning. This is different than what we usually do, but I believe the Lord is working in this place. And I want you to lift your hands this morning and begin to pour out your praise to the Lord. Because some of you, you feel like you're running on empty and you're forgetting about the promise of God. You're forgetting about the provision of God. You're forgetting about all that He has for you. But this morning, this is the day to adjust your perspective. This is the day to pour out your heart to the Lord. They're going to sing this song, Do It Again. And I want you to sing along with them and let the Lord begin to pour into your heart today.